Hey, good morning. It is great to see you all. Yeah, we're going to continue our series of talks on friendship by talking today about friends with benefits. So you know what I mean, right? The benefits of friendship. I think some of you right now are thinking, no, he doesn't know what he means, what that popular phrase, friends with benefits, means in popular culture. I actually don't live under a rock. They are making bad movies about it, so I know that. And no, we're not going to talk today about how two friends start having sex together and try not to have an emotional connection or commitment. That would be a different talk. Although I am going to say I'm a big advocate of safe sex, and there is no safe sex outside of marriage. At least not until they somehow develop a condom for the heart. No, today, though, we're going to talk about something different. What I want to do is take back that phrase, friends with benefits, and not to talk about sex, but to talk about the actual benefits of friendship, the amazing things that happen, the terrific things that we get out of being friends. Now, I'll be honest with you, at first, I didn't think we needed a talk like this. Because I was like, I mean, come on, doesn't everybody know that friends are good? I mean, duh. There's lots of benefits of having friends, right? We all want friends. You don't have to sell friendship. Or do you? You know, how interested really are we in friendship? Is it something that we think about? I think that a lot of us here would rather hear a talk on sex than a talk on friendship. I mean, if we were honest. You know, when's the last time you had a serious conversation about friendship? Or read a book about it? Even a magazine article. You know, we got lots of magazine articles about sex and dating and marriage and parenting. Not so many on friendship. You know, to try to validate our relative lack of interest in friendship, I thought I could maybe do some Google searches, you know, see how many results I got. And sure enough, I got 15 times more results for family than when you search friendship. And I'm pretty sure you'll find way, way more material on the internet about sex than about friendship. Although I didn't go looking for that material about sex. We actually have monitoring software here on our church computers, and I've gotten talked to about my searches once before. My wife, she was helping a friend plan a trip to Seattle, and so she Googled information on the South Lake Union trolley. Specifically, what she Googled from my computer was Ride the Slut in Seattle. Because the South Lake Union trolley is called the Slut. And I got to explain that to one of the other pastors. Yeah. Anyway, so our relative lack of interest in friendship, it's kind of a more modern thing. If you go back to the ancient Greeks, they talked a lot about friendship. They wrote books about it. Aristotle, smart old Greek guy, he said, "Without friends, no one would choose to live, though he had all other goods." You didn't need to sell Aristotle on friendship. And if you go even farther back to Adam, Adam was in paradise. It was perfect, right? And yet there was a problem. He was alone. And that wasn't a design flaw. You know, before we messed it up, originally we were made perfectly in God's image. And God exists in community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We also are made to be with others. It's interesting, when God calls out the problem in Genesis 2, God doesn't say, "Hey, wait, we got a problem. Man has no one to have sex with." Now, many men would agree with that. There's a problem. But there's not. Well, there is the perpetuation of the species, but that's not the solution that God points to. The solution that God points to is, what does man need? He needs a companion, a helper, a friend. Yeah, whether we value it or not, friendship has always been really important for us humans. Now, we try to downplay it. We focus on other things. You know, I'm just going to focus on my career and, you know, having lots of success, making lots of money, doing lots of good things. You know, then things will be good enough that I won't need friends. Hello, Adam. Paradise, literally, and he needed friends. We can't escape our design. Others of us, we struggle with loneliness, and we think there's something wrong with us. Like, you know, if I was just stronger, if I wasn't such a wimp, I wouldn't be so lonely. No, loneliness isn't a design flaw. If we don't need other people, we're not actually like God. Another reason that we downplay friendship is because friendship is so different. It's not like other relationships. C.S. Lewis, the great author, he said that friendship is the least natural of all the different kinds of love. There's no biological, there's no social necessity to be friends with anyone. We're not compelled to be friends. You don't fall into friendship like you fall into romantic love. And sadly, some of us downplay friendship because we never actually experienced it, really. We've never enjoyed the benefits of friendship. So today our goal is to let God give us a new perspective, to really change the way we think about friendship, to see how important it is to see the benefits of friendship. And I actually have a challenge for you, you know, if you choose to accept it, and I'm calling it the 5x5 challenge. And what it is before the end of the year, to make 5 new friends. And then we're going to talk about 5 different benefits of friendship to actually see those in your friendship before the end of the year. But don't decide now if you're going to take the challenge. Wait, hold on. First, let's talk about the 5 benefits. Actually, first, why don't you grab a Bible? We're going to look at what Jesus said about friendship in John 15. It's on page 752 in the Bibles you got there. I'll pray, and then we'll dive on in. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. And Jesus, I thank you that you are our Savior. You died on the cross for us so that we could be friends with you. You're not just our Savior, you're our friend. And I love that we enjoy these benefits of friendship with you. And you made other people for us to enjoy them with. I ask for that blessing, more and more of that, more friends in our lives. Your powerful name. Amen. Okay, so we're in John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 12 and see if you can spot the 5 benefits of friendship. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Okay, there's lots of powerful stuff about friendship there. And it can be a little confusing, a little abstract even. I know some folks think, well, wait a minute, we're supposed to be friends in the same with other people the way Jesus is friends with us? Well, doesn't Jesus have an advantage? I mean, he's perfect, God. And so to kind of address that, what we're going to do is we go through and look at these 5 different aspects of friendship. We're also going to look at a real-life, very human friendship, a famous friendship, the friendship between Jonathan and David that you can find in the first half of the Bible. So, to start out, the first benefit of friendship is that we have a common interest. And this may seem obvious, right? I mean, we're friends with the people that we go garage sailing with, the people that we hunt and fish with, the people that we ride motorcycles with. You know, the people that, like us, work at the same place or go to the same school or pursuing the same goal, like raising kids. You know, you see this with guys. I mean, guys, do we ever look over at our guy friends and say, Joe, do you love me? No, but we wouldn't think twice of saying, hey, Joe, do you love the outdoors? Do you love NASCAR? Do you love those Vikings? Do you love knitting? We wouldn't think twice about that. C.S. Lewis, he talked about the real differences between friendship and romantic love, how they are really different. Lovers, they're positioned face-to-face, and they're absorbed in each other, where friends are shoulder-to-shoulder, and they are absorbed in a common interest. Lewis said, friendship must be about something, even if it were only an enthusiasm for dominoes or white mice. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. So Jesus talks about being our friend. What's our common interest with Jesus? Well, he's pretty clear about it, actually. It's right at the beginning in verse 12, and it's right at the end in verse 17. Love each other. It's just another way of Jesus inviting us into his family business. Jesus, his Father, the Holy Spirit, loving the world, loving humanity. If we're going to be friends with God, we are going to have this common interest, loving people. If we want to press into friendship with Jesus, we got to press into loving people. Are we doing that? Jonathan and David, what was their common interest in this really amazing world history changing friendship? A friendship we're still talking about 3,000 years later. Well, let's look at how the Bible describes when these two guys likely first met. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Okay, so what's going on here is Israel, God's people, are at war with the Philistines. And God, to everyone's surprise, uses this poor little shepherd boy, David, to defeat the Philistines and their giant Goliath. Everyone's surprised. The king, Saul, is surprised. When it says David and Saul finished talking, that was Saul saying, "Psst, kid, come over here. Who exactly are you?" Jonathan wasn't so surprised. Prince Jonathan saw something in David that he recognized. Because when David stepped up with his little slingshot to fight that giant, David said something. He said, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Okay, so when Jonathan hears those words, they echo in his ears, and he thinks something like this. He thinks, "What? You too? You think the Lord does that too?" Because Jonathan, even though when Goliath shows up, he runs with the rest of the army, Jonathan was a great prince and an amazing warrior. He had fought the Philistines before at a time when the Israelites, they didn't have swords or spears. They had like two swords. And Jonathan takes one of them and he climbs up a cliff and he leads like a suicide attack on the Philistines. It looks like there is no hope. And he does it for exactly the same reason that David fights Goliath, because he knows the battle is the Lord's. It looked hopeless. But Jonathan knew God said he'd save us, and he will, and he did. And he used that one attack by Jonathan to win that entire battle. Jonathan's having deja vu here. Now to us, it may seem strange, it may seem abrupt that these two were suddenly such great friends. But it's because we don't see the strong, powerful common interest that lies behind it. An interest in God advancing his kingdom. That's a foundation. What a foundation for a friendship, a powerful friendship. Now, what about us? What about us? One of the benefits, the first benefit of friendship, is enjoying a common interest. So what are the common interests that we've built our friendships on? Knitting, dominoes, motorcycle riding, or Jesus and loving people and advancing his kingdom? Now, don't get me wrong here. You can have great friendships. We should have great friendships that are built on things other than Jesus. I have some great friends, and our friendship is built on an interest in children, in education, in learning. And we've done some cool, some amazing things together, surprising things. We started a little school together. We need to have friends like that who aren't following Jesus. But if we are following Jesus, then like Jonathan and David, we need some friends where our common interest is God advancing his kingdom, is loving people, is Jesus. And if you don't have that in your life, well, you're in the perfect place right now. In church, in small group, praying for each other, studying together, serving people together. That's the places where these friendships come from. Talk to some people here. Listen to what they say until you have that moment where you go, "What? You too? God's done that in you too?" That's the basis for an amazing, a life-changing friendship. Now, hopefully you see here that if you're just lonely and you want friends, that's not the best common interest. Groups, clubs for lonely people, they don't attract a lot of members. We need a real interest. And let me promise you that there is no better interest than Jesus. Okay, second benefit of friendship is that it is a perfect context in which to practice sacrificial love. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And Jesus did it at the cross. Jesus sacrificially died for us, for his friends. And that's our model. That's what we're called to do. And we can do that. Jonathan did that. Jonathan gave his life for his friend David. Remember what we read before? Jonathan has like taken off all his stuff and he's given it to David. He's not just giving him great gifts, although those were great gifts. No, what Prince Jonathan is doing is he is stripping himself of the things that represent his future life, his kingship. He's giving David his sword, even though David's standing there with Goliath's sword in his hand. He's giving David his royal robe, even his belt. And Jonathan would have made a great king. He was courageous. The people loved him. He was a man of God. But Jonathan surrendered his future life, his throne, because he saw God's purposes at work in David. And he was willing to stand up, to fight for that, and to pay a price for that. If we're going to have the kind of friendships that God is calling us into, the kind of friendships where we love our friends and we long to see God's kingdom come in and through them, there's going to be a price to pay. Most of us, we're not that interested in paying a price when it comes to our friendships. We draw the line, you know, maybe just right after pick you up at the airport, or maybe after help you move. But the truth is, if we want to have these kind of real friendships, it will cost us dearly. It will teach us sacrificial love. So how are we? How are we sacrificing for our friends? How are we loving them sacrificially? You know, if you're going to have real friendships, you're kind of going to be forced into this. You're going to have to give up your time and even your money. You're going to be challenged to be patient and to forgive. And there's going to be times when we're going to have to stand by while our friends, they're idiots and they fail. And we're going to have to be loyal and it's going to be costly. But we, because of our society, we're tempted when that happens to just bail on the friendship. Our society tells us, you know, when a friendship costs you more than you're putting into it, or if you're getting back less than you're putting in, then just get out of that friendship. No. If we do, we're going to miss out on one of the best benefits of friendship. That it helps us become more like Jesus. That it teaches us how to love sacrificially. So how is God inviting us to love sacrificially in our friendships? To love in a way that it costs us. I mean, think about one of your friends. Can you think of a way that you can love them sacrificially? Some of us can't because we're kind of like overwhelmed by the whole concept. And if that's you, maybe just start with a baby step. Just a baby step. Just take more of an interest in your friend. You know, actually, you know, in their life. Remember your common interest? Ask them why they care about that, why they like it so much. Just take the time to be interested. We can do that, right? And it seems like a baby step, right? Taking an interest, but I think it actually is really important. And I fear that maybe sometimes our community, the Vineyard, we're not always that good at taking an interest in people. You know, we're plenty friendly. We got the Minnesota Nice. But how interested really are we in other people? You know, as a church staff, we sometimes talk about this, how we are working so hard to get things done. We want to advance the kingdom of God. But sometimes our friendships then can start to feel, well, functional. Like we're not really being that great of friends. And that breaks our hearts. And I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize if someone here, a friend, has made you feel like they haven't taken an interest in you. We can do better. I know Jesus could teach us how. I am asking, I am praying for the Holy Spirit to, as a community, help us to take more of an interest in each other. A third benefit of friendship is that it improves our character. And Jesus totally does this. And we kind of get the whole sacrificial love part, but this part, I don't think there's a lot of people that love this verse when Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command." I mean, what friend says that? Isn't that what you say to like a servant? Now here, Jesus isn't saying that his friendship is conditional. He's not. What he's saying is what the inevitable consequence is of being a friend with him. He's telling us really how you can test it. How can you can see if you're his friend? What he's saying, really, put it another way, is Jesus, he welcomes us. He loves us all however he finds us. But he doesn't leave us that way. If we become friends with Jesus, we start to feel his love. We do, and that changes us. It changes our hearts, and we start to love him back, and we start to love other people, which is his command. This friendship, improving your character, this is nothing new. The Greeks saw, Aristotle, remember the old smart Greek guy? He knew about this. Aristotle said that friendship is essential in life. You have to have good friends because you become good by spending time with good people. David and Jonathan. David became better because of Jonathan. Jonathan was the one who really taught David how to be a good king. And we don't have time, unfortunately, to fully unpack that. But David was a great king. He was an amazing king because he put God first. And it was Jonathan, not Saul, that taught David that. So for us, do we have friends that are making our character better? How are we good because of our friends? Are our friends making us good? Well, Paul Waddell, he writes this book, Becoming Friends, and he kind of describes how this works. Our friends can teach us not to take ourselves too seriously. They can teach us to be more patient and understanding with the foibles of others and mispronouncing words. They can help us have courage and persevere when faced with hardship. They can teach us what it means to forgive and be forgiven. They can show us how important it is to be generous and just. They can keep us humble. These are all critical dimensions of a well-developed character and of a virtuous person that in some way are the handiwork of our friends. One of the great unpayable debts of friendship is to realize that friends help us become better than we ever could be by ourselves. Do we have friends that are making us better? You know, Facebook friends can't do this, right? You need real friends, friends that you let in. And honestly, I'm not sure how you can follow Jesus, how you can become more like him, how you can learn to obey his commands if you don't have other friends that are following Jesus. Okay, another benefit of friendship is that in friendship, we know others and we are known. Friends are open with each other and transparent with each other. Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Okay, this is kind of a crazy thought, actually, that the ruler, the all-powerful God of the universe, would make himself known to us, that would let us in on his business. He doesn't have to do that, unless, of course, he wants to be our friend, because that's what friends do. And we get to know God and ourselves through friendship with Jesus. Friends open themselves up to each other. And even further, friends, they show us ourselves, even things about ourselves that we don't want to see, that we'd prefer not to know about ourselves. They show us the truth about what is going on in us. Jonathan, over and over again, did this for David, showed David who he was. He showed him who he was when people were cheering, like when he killed Goliath. But he also showed him who he was when things were tough. Check this out. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, those sound like Dr. Seuss places, but I think they're not. He learned that Saul had come out to take his life, to kill him. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said.
My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before God. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. There were times when David forgot. He forgot who he was, what he was for. But Jonathan showed David who he was. He helped him know who he was, that he was God's chosen king. We need friends like that too, who remind us of who we are, who are basically mirrors for us and show us the truth about who we are and what God is doing in us. There is no better way to find out about our blind spots than through our friends. You know, the things that we lie to ourselves about, that we tell ourselves about ourselves that aren't true. So do we have friends in our lives that do that? What have we learned about ourselves from our friends? Anything? You know, sadly, most folks who come in and out of our lives, they never look beyond the surface, do they? The minute they meet us, they calculate. They say, well, how can I benefit from them? How can I use them? But if we're followers, if we're friends of Jesus, that's not how we're supposed to treat people. We're supposed to treat people like Jonathan treated David. We're supposed to see what's really in them and encourage them and call that out. Think about one of your friends right now. Do you know what's really inside of them? Do you know what God's doing in them to advance his kingdom? Do you know what their purpose is in life? If you don't, ask Jesus. Yeah, just try this little experiment. Keep praying for them until the Holy Spirit shows you what's really inside of them, shows you his plans and his dreams for them. And then talk to your friend and say, hey, this is what I heard. Let's pray about that. You pray about that. I want to encourage you with that. And see what that does. See what that does for your friendship too. Okay, a fifth benefit of friendship is that friends help us do what we're for. And Jesus talked about that too. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Now, this can be confusing because Jesus kind of is and he kind of isn't saying that if we're his friends, we can get whatever we want. Just ask for it. No, what Jesus is saying is that if we're his friends, that friendship's going to change our heart, like we talked about before. That really what it's going to do, it's going to line our will up with his will. Friends of God ask for God's kingdom to come. They ask for his will to be done, and God does it. See, by being friends with God, we're able to do God's will. We're able to bear fruit. We're able to love others. Now, this is surprisingly important. I've tried to do what I'm for, to love God, to do these things, without much of a friendship with Jesus. I think my pride tricked me into thinking I could do it. And even though I did some good things, it wasn't pretty. I mean, I was going to church, I was reading my Bible and praying, and I was helping people in need. But I was miserable, and I kind of resented God for making me work so hard. See, I really am for doing those things, but in friendship with God, where God changes my heart so I want to. And even now, when I sometimes feel the tension that I know what God wants and I don't want to do it. Well, I know what to do now. Run back to my friend, Jesus. Run back to him and worship him. Yeah, worship him. Thank him and praise him and experience his goodness so it changes my heart. This is surprisingly important. Our motives, what's in our heart really matters. And what we learned from Jonathan and David back in the desert of Ziph is that our friends can help us do this. Because what Jonathan did was help David find the strength from God to do what he's for. Now, at this point, David's life sucks. It stinks. I mean, he is being hunted like a dog. Saul is trying to kill him. Saul tries like six times to kill David. David is homeless. He has no family. He is afraid and depressed and just wants to quit. But Jonathan, oh, wonderful Jonathan. Jonathan knows better than to try to rescue him himself. What did it say? It says, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." Find strength in God. You can almost hear Jonathan's words. "David, my dear friend David, you're right. Things are hard. What do you think God thinks about that? Remember your friend God? He helped you kill that ugly giant Goliath? Wasn't that something? Don't you think God has the strength for you now to do what you're for?" David needed that reminder. Oftentimes, we need that reminder to keep us on track. Do we have friends that do that for us? How are our friends helping us do what we're for? Helping us stay committed to the goals and the plans and the dreams that God has given us. Bringing us back to the feet of Jesus to have him tell us who we really are and what we're for, to give us strength. Waddell, in his friendship book, talks about this too. He says, "No matter how deep our love for God and our zeal for the gospel might be, a life of discipleship is hard. It may be full of hope, but it is also costly. Eventually, every disciple encounters periods of trial and times of discouragement and difficulty. Can anyone truly remain faithful to a life of discipleship if he or she feels alone or suspects that no one else is committed to the same journey? If the church is truly a community of friends committed to a shared life in Christ, then one of the obligations of discipleship is encouraging one another in living that life and helping each other with the tests and challenges of that life. Jesus predicted a cross for all of his followers, but he never said we had to bear those crosses alone." Are we doing that for each other? Yeah, many of us are. I mean, I think our community is surprising. I mean, we are really good at this. Lots of people here are doing that for other people. And it is a great, it is a terrific thing. But we're not nearly done yet. We're not done until everyone who longs for that kind of friendship can have it. Friendship is really important. Without his friendship with Jonathan, David wouldn't have made it. There's no way that he would have made it. I mean, he would have been killed. He would have given up long before he became the great king that he was, a man after God's own heart. For us, without friendship, I don't think we'll make it. Not when it comes to our big dreams. Absolutely not. Dreams like raising godly children. That's not easy. Or planting a church, or, you know, helping to advance God's kingdom. In whatever way you're being called into the family business, and you are in a way that's perfect for you in a big way, I don't think we can do that without friends. For many of us, if we don't have friends who are following Jesus, we won't ever even see any real change in our lives. We won't get freedom for our addictions. We won't feel God's love like we could. We won't really love others. Friends are really important. We don't see friendship as a sexy topic, but friends have serious benefits. Yes, I am trying to sell you on friendship. I really am. I'm trying to get you to move it up on your priority list, to make an investment in it, to take it more seriously. And one way you could do that is to take the challenge. Just take this 5x5 challenge. It's actually really simple. It's make 5 new friends before the end of the year. It's those 5 benefits of friendship that we have talked about. Look to have them happen in at least one of your friendships. It's simple, but it may not be easy. And if you're going to do it, I would encourage you to tell at least one other person that you're going to do it. Me, I'm telling over 1,000 people, including you this weekend, that I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. And as a hardcore introvert, I'm a little nervous about it. I have trouble making friends. I tend to think that I have enough friends already. But I'm pretty sure that God's telling me that none of us have enough friends already. That he's got more. He can bless each of us through new friends. And he can use us to bless other people, to love other people through friendship. And for me, I look at my life and those 5 benefits of friendship. I actually see those in my life, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have very many friends, but at least I know they're true friends. But I know I could go deeper in all of them. And I wonder how much my friends are experiencing those benefits because of me. You know, really, one of the reasons I want to do the challenge is I want to be a better friend. I actually want to be more like Jesus, and I think he can use friendship. He does use friendship to make us more like him. All right, so either you're in on the challenge or you're not, and you get to choose. That's the way it works. And I will admit, it's kind of goofy, right, the 5x5 challenge. But goofy or not, I am counting on that God's going to do cool things in me through it. Bigger picture, though. Bigger picture, way more important than the challenge, is that we start to change our thinking about friendship. So how important is friendship to you? Honestly, I mean, look at your life and your friends. How interested are you in friendship? Are you still more interested maybe in sex or romance or something else? You know, in a way, we're all like Adam. Remember Adam? Garden? Alone? Yeah, alone. And not physically alone. There's like 7 billion of us now. But we are all alone in our own minds. We all experience an aloneness that points us to something. It's not a flaw. It points us to something. What is it? Is it to sex or the perfect romance? Not for Adam. No, not for us either. What it points us to is friendship. Friendship with Jesus and friendship with others. And what do you know? That solution is what the church have to give to the world. Friendship. Now, sure, lots of folks in the world, they don't want our friendship. What they actually want is sex. And the church, we can't offer the world sex. No, we can't. Sex is a good thing. It's a gift from God, but it's not a gift for everyone. God is clear. You know, outside of marriage as described in the Bible, sex is going to hurt us. It's going to be dangerous. And some people, they ask me, like, what? Why? Why are you guys sticking to what the Bible says about sex? I mean, don't you see that the world has changed, that people everywhere are having sex in the movies, on TV? You know, if you disagree with that, you kind of seem like you're crazy. And I like to respond that I am crazier than you think I am. Not because of what I believe about sex, but because I let God decide what's right and wrong, rather than deciding myself, including about sex. But then I also always want to talk about friendship. Because yes, the church can't offer everyone sex, but we can offer everyone friendship. And friendship is what everyone needs. Do you see how important friendship is in your life? Do you see, if you're a follower of Jesus, how important it is that we offer friendship to everyone in the world? Jesus said we are his friends. Remember what he said to his friends about loving. Friendship is a big part of that. Why don't you stand up with me and we'll press into this further. We'll talk to God about it. We'll move into what we call ministry time. It's just a time to interact with God, speak with him. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come, and I ask right now that you continue to open our hearts and our minds to your view of friendship, to change us, to change the way that we view friendship. Show us how you value friendship. What an incredible plan you have, God, that the way that you're going to disciple us, that the way that you're going to use us to disciple other people is through friendship. What a cool tool. God, I know for some of us, there's things standing in the way. There's barriers to being friends. Brenda talked about them last week, and I ask that you remove those barriers, that you help us to press into being friends, to moving it up on our priority list. For some of us, yeah, it'll be taking the challenge. For others of us, it'll be other things. Right now, tell each of us what it is that you would have us do to value friendship more, to value it as you value it. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. I'd like to invite our ministry team to come forward. And if some of these things that we've been talking about, if they have resonated with you, if you're like, that God's talking to me, we'd love to pray for you more, to pray for you individually. Maybe you're going to take the challenge and you're an introvert like me and you're scared to death. Well, we can pray for you. Maybe you're an extrovert and you're just excited to make 5 new friends. Yay. There's an extrovert. We'd like to pray for that. We'd love to pray and celebrate that. Wherever you are in friendships, maybe you're one of those folks who's struggling with loneliness. A lot of us are. You're alone, and you're really not sure how this is going to work. Maybe you struggle with trust. You've been let down in your friendships. We'd love to connect you with Jesus, because really, friendship with Jesus is the answer for all of this, for everything in life. If you need physical healing, you're struggling financially, whatever your need is in life, we'd love to connect you with Jesus and his solution. So they're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would encourage you to stay and hear what more God has to say about friendship in your life. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.